Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Don't tell it at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is a beautiful day in the A, man. This cold front blew through, Mike. I'm telling you, the weather outside, I don't know if you've been out yet, but woo, it cooled off nicely. We're going to get a great weekend, and hopefully we get great football. We're going to talk to Arthur Smith, Falcons head coach, coming up today at 5 o'clock for his weekly visit. And, you know, we always say this. If you guys have questions, realistic ones, you can text us, you can tweet at us, and we'll certainly try to see if we can get an answer from Arthur Smith. I know a lot of Falcon fans are wondering a lot of things, and Matt Ryan spoke to Sports Illustrated, which we'll talk about, saying, hey, we still have plenty of time to get things right. And that's kind of what we've been preaching. Will they? I don't know, Mike, but he's right. Matt Ryan is right. They've got plenty of time to get things right.
Like I said, I mean, it's the easy. You want to sit there and get Jalen Mayfield sucks. That's easy and intellectually lazy. I mean, we know he sucks right now. He's also in his first game, and at his second game, there was an improvement. So, I mean, look, I just there's so much negativity from the fan base, and now we got these other guys tripping. Well, Justin Fields is finally good. Then go drive, become a Bears fan. What do you want from me? This team has got work to do, right? We've already told you where we are, what our lot in life is, but, Carl, I want to see if we make some progression, okay? And then if you want to get to four, the fifth game, and then you can start to just look at what we are or what we aren't. But right now, I mean, yeah, it sucks. It sucks to be 0-2, but I think it's a winnable game against the Giants, and I think Matt's right. Look, I just want to see some positives. We did see some positives last Sunday, but more stuff we can build on. And then we can all have the dump on it party that everybody seems to want, right?
Yeah, and listen, I don't know if we want to. I just think it's easy because this is kind of where we've been. You know, I think if we were winning, if we were 2-0, everybody wouldn't be feeling the way they are. But again, they've given us nothing to feel differently about. So we'll see. But I do agree with Matt on that. We'll get into what he had to say coming up. We are packed today, guys. We talked about Stacey Sager joining the show yesterday. She's going to join us today to talk about the Sager Strong Foundation and the fourth annual Living Out Loud Golf Tournament, which Mike and I will actually be at. It's at Hawks Ridge Golf Club, located in Ball Ground. We're going to be out there October 11th, which is a Monday. But we'll talk to Stacey coming up a little bit later on this hour to get all of that information. And we've got plenty of football to get into today because our man Connor Riley is going to stop by to talk about the Dogs. We also have Wes Durham, the voice of the Falcons. And as we talked about, Coach, but we're going to go behind enemy lines with Art Stapleton, Giants reporter, Mike, to kind of find out what's going on with the Giants. Does Saquon scare you, by the way? He's not been great. They're just kind of easing him back. Does that scare you a little bit?
I'm not sure he's going to have a breakout game against us. I mean, he's still finding his way. And I think it's, I think everyone expects these guys to come back like what Adrian Peterson did a couple years ago, right? And sometimes it takes a little bit more. And everybody's body reacts differently. So I think a lot of folks just thought Saquon Barkley was going to hit the ground running week one. And you kind of read into it a little bit from the way the Giants were handling him preseason and talked about how he's going to be worked in regular regular season. So let's hope he doesn't get right against us. That's a darn sure. I know that a lot of people are talking about John Brown, the former Cardinals receiver. He had bounced around the league a little bit. He does have 2,000-yard seasons. Falcons worked him out yesterday. Don't have anything official from the team. I know everybody's kind of jumping to the conclusion. Maybe we are going to sign him, but right now we're a little worried about Russell Gage, who's going to be banged up. So, and again, I know John Brown is a name for fantasy owners, and he has had 1,000-yard seasons. So, I mean, you do a lot worse if you are going to go in that direction, right?
Yeah, I think at this point, as you're adding players and injuries are happening around the league, you're just trying to supplement and make sure you're covering your butt, right? I mean, honestly, right. It's one of those things where we don't know what kind of production we're going to get from any of these guys, but as the injuries occur, and you're seeing a lot of them already, I mean, the big news today is obviously Justin Fields is going to start for the Bears, and you know, with the Andy Dalton injury, but Mike, the Tua injury. Now, you know, does this put into question, he's going to miss 3 weeks, does this put into question the long-term viability of Tua in Miami? We go back to the summer, and everybody was talking about Deshaun Watson to Miami, and then that faded because of all this stuff that's going on. But I just, these are the kind of things, you know, that people say, oh, well, injury, you should lose your starting spot. It happens all the time.
Right, and this is a guy that had some serious injuries in college. Everyone, no one debates Carl the athleticism of what he's got. But what is this guy going to be, you know, able to do if he can't stay healthy? Well, I mean, teams are going to start looking for other quarterbacks. I mean, that happens every year in the NFL, to your point. And, you know, Big Ben and the Steelers, some people say maybe they overplayed their hand one year too many with Ben, because a guy who's as fragile as he's become, you can't guarantee he's going to give you everything. But a guy just starting his career, to have all this stuff circulating around him, and the way that the Dolphins are also, how would you phrase it, passive-aggressive, the way they speak about him. So, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, Jacoby Brissett is not the answer. He is a placeholder, but he'll have a chance to, you know, to show what he's got. But it is interesting because in Miami, it's like they were talking about drafting another quarterback after a year they got him. And this doesn't help.
No. And now here's the thing. You look at the Rams, for example. Rams go to Super Bowl. They lose, actually, here in our city. And then they, you know, 2 years later, Goff is not their quarterback. The point I'm making is, even though you draft a quarterback in the first round, in today's NFL, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to be there in a few years. It used to be you drafted a guy, you stayed the course regardless, and if he was bad, well, you went through those bad years hoping that he'd get better. It's such a win league or win now league, Mike, that you don't have that kind of time. If Brian Flores believes he's got what he needs in 2 years, let's just say, to win, they're not going to wait around for the development of the quarterback. They feel like they got to go get a guy. It's sort of like where the Rams are. We spent all this money in free agency. We went and got the best corner. We're paying the best defensive player. We need a guy that can get us over the top. Let's go make the deal now. So I wouldn't be surprised if Miami ultimately does that. I just thought it was weird that the coach, Brian Flores, had to testify and basically say, he's our guy, to his own team. I mean, That's weird. If he's your guy, you shouldn't have to tell people. That's how I feel.
Right. I mean, and messing with his head, I thought they moved Fitzpatrick out, one, maybe because they didn't want to pay too much money, but also to kind of, I thought the impression was to establish him as the man, right? It's your team. And now it's not necessarily your team. So, yeah, I mean, a lot more questions than answers. Can't stay healthy. And, guys, it's not his fault, but there's just guys. You could do shows about a million. I mean, Falcons have had Chris Miller. We've had guys in here, whether it's concussions or whatever else, as dudes that come through here just can't seem to find a way to stay healthy. And that means you're going to bounce around teams and wind up wearing a baseball hat for much of your career.
Yeah, not wishing that upon Tua. I still want to see him develop. But, you know, this is when all these guys came out, we were like, all right, in 5 years, who's going to be the guy? Are they all going to be good? Usually that's not the case. And Tua right now, you know, not any fault of his own, but these injuries are kind of giving us a reason to doubt that he's ultimately going to be what we expect him
to
be.
Well, it's like Marcus Mariota, same thing. He couldn't. Right. I mean, and then you could argue, what is the, you know, skill set? Is the skill set, like, there's a million guys that have come from college and won the Heisman, haven't done anything in the NFL. But Mariota's another guy, same thing. Every time he gets any level of success, boom, he gets banged up.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Find us on social media, guys. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And follow this radio station at 929 The Game. We are live on Twitch. Subscribe for that exclusive content and follow us on the gram as well. Quick backstory today, because Bo is doing double duty. Bo is our executive producer, but he's in studio today filling in for Chris. We call Chris Turtle because we put it out there and you guys said, oh, with a new haircut, he looks like Turtle from Entourage. Today, he hits us up, and we're talking about Chris. Mike and I and Bo, we all feel bad because apparently, and I looked at the picture he sent us, Mike, his apartment got flooded, and basically, he says this is a disaster. There was a toilet in the apartment that flooded. There's 2 inches of standing water, so you know they were in there cleaning stuff up. So he's not in today, but I don't know if you've ever been through that. I had our basement flood last year. I think we talked about it. It's brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, and I just again, and it's the toilet overflow. That's just.
Yeah. Well, it's not poo water, is it?
No. I mean, I presume that you know it was. You know, he doesn't let it. If it's yellow, he doesn't let it mellow. He flushes as he goes. That's, again, I apologize to that graphic, but so Turtle, we're with you, brother, and hope the maintenance guys are doing the deed with the mop and everything else, and you know, at least it's hardwoods. I don't think he's got carpet. That's when it really gets funky.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. Did you ever have that anything like that at the condo?
No, knock wood. Now, there'd always be some unit where some dipstick would go out of town and like something would flood or somebody would have run a bathtub and fall asleep and pass out. Not die, but then flood the neighbors below them. So, but like they never had, you know, in a condo where we live, it's called like a stack. You know, we were on the 17 stacks or on the 26th floor. And luckily, nothing ever. And there were only two people above me that could do something stupid because it was a 28-story building, luckily. But yeah, that's the worst, man. It just gets you out of your routine. And last, for those who didn't hear the show, like, what, 18 months? Right before COVID, you had to go through all that crap with your house.
Yeah, and it was crazy because we were already dealing with the upstairs bathroom situation, which had leaked into the kitchen, so we needed to do the roof there. And then we were actually gone. We were at a fight or something like that. And then my wife calls and says, "Hey, yeah, the basement is flooded. What are you talking about?" So the deal is they send in like this restoration team, right? You know, they bring in fans and all this stuff, mm-hmm. but they still have to cut the sheetrock. If you've ever been through this, I think it's 2 inches or whatever, and you just, you know, you got to get new flooring. It ended up being better than it was before, to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, it was just it was not something anybody wants to deal with. So, Chris, we feel your pain today, bro. Hope
hang
you
in there,
that.
Buddy.
Yeah,
hang
man.
In there.
And hopefully he's back tomorrow. All right, guys, we got plenty to dive into, plenty to get to this afternoon. We will talk about Matt Ryan's comments again. He talked to Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports, talking about the Falcons. And I wouldn't expect him to say anything else. Again, we're not 0-8. We're not 0-10. 0-2, there's a bunch of teams around the league. You look around the league. The question is, 0-2 is reasonable to come back, Mike, and have a winning season. When you get to 0-4, 0-5, that's when it starts to you really start to realize, okay, this we have no shot, right? And this is what we are. I can't say that right now because they've shown something, but they just haven't shown enough of it. So we're going to talk to Coach Art Smith coming up at 5 o'clock, as we mentioned, and we'll try to get some more answers for not only last week, but also moving forward.
And I'm like Squidbilly. You know, if you're new to the show, our producer, Squidbilly, who's also, as Carl said, pulling double duty, he has this phrase, damn Twitter, man, it's toxic, you know. I am a Falcons fan, as is Carl. If you're new to the show, we're paying customers. We got season tickets. Like I know there are things that we know right now are not working. There were no other choices for the things that were not working. And I've seen stuff on social media, and we've talked to Arthur Smith about it. Hopefully, they're going to figure some of these things out. I just don't know what some people expected this team to be. That's a conversation that you and I had, I think, you know, yesterday and over the last few weeks. I mean, did people really think this team was going to, you know, go to the playoffs this year after winning 4 games and having no money to spend in free agency? I mean, I just think you got to temper, and again, people don't want to hear that, but you got to temper your expectations. I want to see something I can build on. That doesn't put fannies in the seats, but that's the reality of the situation.
What I wanted to see, Mike, and we still are going to see how this plays out, but my notion was we lost a bunch of games last year, regardless of how much talent you thought we had.
Because of bad decisions and coaching?
Correct. So teams turnover, right? You see that every year. But a lot of the stuff that happened last year just had to do with coaching and decisions. So my thought was, if that can get better, how many more games is that at? If you won 4 in that circumstance, do you get 4 more with better coaching? Does that make you an 8-win team and then, you steal 2 and all of a sudden you've got 10 wins? That's, you know, that happens in the NFL, but we haven't seen enough yet of Arthur Smith and his staff to say that's really taking place. All right, man, plenty more to dive into. We're going to come back. We're going to hit some headlines. Braves win again. But, guys, this thing's going to come down to the wire. Phillies win. We still have a lead in the NL East, but our magic number is now 10. We'll talk more about that and much more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to talk with Stacey Sager. And Sager Strong Foundation continues to do amazing work. And Greg Sager was a friend of the show, a longtime friend of Mike's. And, you know, when we lost Sager, I think, you know, it shocked obviously a lot of people at the time, Mike. And he was one of the larger-than-life figures on NBA and all the things he was ever a part of. But Stacey is continuing to put the word out for the 4th annual Living Out Loud golf tournament. It's going to take place again Monday, October 11th. at Hawks Ridge Golf Club. So we're going to talk to her about that and what the foundation's going on, what's going on with the foundation, should I say, and how she's been doing, because it's been a minute since we've actually – I've not seen her, Mike, what, three years, four years?
Yeah, we're always texting her, friends of ours, or friends are seeing them. But, yeah, we haven't seen Stace since it was the Super Bowl weekend down in Houston. But, yeah, man, Craig just a larger-than-life character, man, and just so many great memories here in Metro Atlanta from the Jocks and Jills family and all that other stuff. And again, a real quick story. We got I don't want to get too long into it, but the weekend we had the Final Four here in Atlanta when Michigan played Louisville. I think that was – didn't they take that one away from Louisville with Pitino? I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sager runs into drunk Larry's out, and we met a bunch of Michigan fans out at the Chop House at the old Turner Field that week, is before they moved to Truist. And Sager comes in, he's like, "Hey, like, you know, again, like always Toastmaster General," and we're having a great time. Buys shots for all the Michigan people. Everyone must have took pictures for an hour with people. You know, just Craig, just he's that guy. He was always the life of the party and just a fun human being.
He really was. We'll talk to Stacey coming up here in about 20 minutes, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys hitting us up saying, you know, it's easy to feel you the way you do being a Falcon fan. You know, it's tough. You got to have faith and all of this stuff. And that's just kind of where we are. But, you know, it's not necessarily faith in the fact that these players are going to turn around and have a miraculous season. It's the long-term plan. You know, I mean, what is Terry Fontenot's plan, Mike, long-term? And he's not going to share this with anybody, but how he wants to build this team and how he's going to go about that. He's only had one offseason. We've talked about it, constraints and such. And so, and then Arthur Smith has to continue to implement his system. You know, I read something the other day where I had to laugh because everybody, I guess, around the country is always saying, well, it takes the time for Matt Ryan to adjust. That's not why we're losing games.
No.
That's not why
there's so many factors, and it's hard to kind of boil it down to just one vibe. As we know, we kind of got a lot of opinions yesterday about, you know, why are we here and how are we, you know, getting there? And so, I mean, to me, there's two different conversations. It's like, all right, who do you want to blame how we got here? And that's a conversation you can have anytime you want. But what are we going to do about it now? That's what I'm a little more concerned with. And the reality of the situation, I feel, is it's going to take a minute. I mean, it's going to be, and I've used this phrase before. I think we talked about, like, Jeff Collins. Okay, bad example, Georgia Tech. But it's like a turnaround of battleship. It doesn't stop on a dime, okay? This is going to take a second. But there's so many fans who expected it to be, to your point. You know, you thought Dan Quinn had just made so many tactical errors and the coaching staff was so jacked up at times that if we get the right people in here, yes. But you still have to have the athletes. And I don't think people realize just how much of the roster got turned over in the offseason without a lot of money to do it either.
All right, guys, plenty more on the Falcons. We'll talk about what Matt Ryan said to CBS Sports as well. It's Dukes and Bell. Bo, double duty today. He's our executive producer, and behind the glass is Chris would normally be. Hey, Bo, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, let's start with these Braves. You get another one. These bullpen starts are wacky, but give the bullpen credit, man. I mean, Webb, Matzik,
well, Smiley,
Minter.
You and I were talking about, you know, can Smiley do something, right? I mean, can he contribute? Because did you feel confident about Smiley coming out of the bullpen, putting him in a situation? Well, if you want to find a place where Smiley can fit, he actually did a really nice job. It was 3 1/3 with just one earned run last night.
Yeah, he's maddening because I think, you know, again, we'd like to see him maybe help us be a starter going into the playoffs. You know, I got two guys right now. I'm trusting Morton and Freed. Everybody else is – I just don't know what to expect. Right. But he was good in the role last night. And then, you know, you talk about the final four innings were scoreless for our Braves, which is one of the reasons why we were able to get another win. Braves win. Riley stays hot. The bats stay hot. It was all good last night. Listen to Snit.
It was awesome. No, it was great. I mean, they all did a great job. From, you know, Jesse asking him to do something. You know, he's done it before, obviously, with us. I threw the ball extremely well. Really good. That was huge right there that he could extend the game like he did and get us to that point. And, you know, Jacob Webb's been pitching big innings for us for a while now. I mean, he's just been really, really solid. You know, it was good because they bridged the game to the guys that, you know, that we wanted to get the game to.
That was you, Mike. That wasn't
what?
Him.
What? No, it's not. It was me.
So Chavez, Smiley, Webb, Matzik, Jackson, Minter, that was how it went last night.
Right. Now, the good news was, as you said, you're playing one of the worst teams in baseball. The bad news was the Orioles could not hang on to a lead. They got an extra innings. Did you see the triple that scored? I'm like, come on, make that catch. Make that catch last night. And the Orioles outfield, the right fielder, couldn't make the play.
You're cheering against these guys.
I'm rooting against the Phillies. And then I'm like, oh, crap. So Philly wins the game last night, so we stay three games up. But let's talk about the home runs. Soler goes yard in the fifth. Ozzie Albies with his 29th. And we talked yesterday, you talked at length about Austin Riley. And Austin Riley in the first inning gets his 30th home run. So, I mean, it's just setting the tone, getting the lead, getting up early on these guys. It was 4-1 in the third, and that's what you're supposed to do right against an inferior opponent.
Yeah, and let's hope they finish this thing off tonight before their next series, which is the one I'm kind of concerned about. It's you know, San Diego. We'll see, because they still feel like they've got a shot at things, and that's a good ball club if they put things together. Meanwhile, Kyle Pitts, Mike, was asked about Matt Ryan leading the team. Pitts had a little bit of a coming out party. Not what we expected, but he showed something on Sunday. Let's hope he continues to do that. But they asked him about Matt Ryan.
Definitely, I think, you know, Matt does a great job of holding the team accountable. And, you know, we're all starting to gel together. And I think, like I said, we're starting to go in the right direction.
Starting to gel, moving the right direction. More targets, right? I mean, that's part of the
game. We want
to
get him the rock. You know, I want to get this guy. I mean, find a way. We'll talk. You know what? That'll be fun. We'll go. So, Art, I was playing Madden this morning, and I found some exciting ways to get Kyle Pitts the rock. Perhaps I can share them with you. But, no, I think everybody wants to see him. You see the game. You see the skills. And we talked about the catch. You know, I mean, behind the back, you know, reaching back and, whoosh, and then and rolling with it and not missing a beat. Just want to get him more and more involved. And again, I know that maybe you'll sacrifice some as far as the run blocking assignments if you're going to focus more on the vertical passing game with Pitts. I don't know how that's going to evolve in this offense, but you're right. Everybody wants more of that guy.
Yeah, I want it now. Hey, Kirby's talking about Vandy. Now, Mike, this is a little bit of Coach Dooley, isn't it? When you listen to this, Vandy guys, if you didn't think South Carolina was good, Vandy's not good, okay? This should be a complete beatdown, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. But Kirby Smart just wants you to know, hey, it's not that easy.
I think he does a tremendous job. Number one, he's an alumnus of the school. He takes a lot of pride in the school, just like I do here. He's been tremendously successful in his career. He's really smart. We've met with him and spent time with him as a coach. I know he knows football. He understands football. And he's trying to build a culture there to be competitive in the SEC. Number one, that starts on the road recruiting, which he really hasn't gotten a chance to do, and it comes with buying in to the culture he creates as a coach, and I know they'll do a good job of that.
Okay, so he's talking about Clark Lea, the coach there at Vandy now. He is one of the new faces. Remember, Derek Mason was there. Mason's now at Auburn. Right. But that's who he's talking about and saying he's trying to build it. We know it's hard to win at Vandy. You know, ask James Franklin. Now, what Franklin did was a miracle those couple of seasons, Mike, and then he parlayed that into a really good job, and he might parlay Penn State into the USC job. We'll see, but this is not a good Vandy football team right now, guys.
No, it's a tough spot to be in, and, you know, but never take them lightly because, as you said, you and I have bet Georgia a few times, well, specifically 13 and 16, and not gotten the result we were looking for. So, yeah, in this case, though, Georgia's defense is just so lights out. So, yeah, defense travels, as most people know, and it'd be a good again, I don't want to, well, you know, let's just enjoy it, go up there, enjoy the first half, and they go down Broadway,
enjoy, go have some drinks,
enjoy arguably the greatest mile of shenanigans. I think I put Nashville over Bourbon Street the last couple of years we've been up there. Just so much fun, inexpensive cocktails at bachelorette parties, wandering up and down every 5 minutes, live music, what more do you need?
It's clean,
rooftop bars, exactly. It's beautiful.
No, it is, and it's going to be a great weekend for dog fans. So yeah, that, listen, I'm not even going to fret this game. I'm not even worried. Like last week, the whole quarterback thing played out when JT started, and I went, oh, great. And then it got screwy when he put Stetson Bennett in there. But that's a whole other story.
Right now, here's the thing. If you want to put Stetson in once you're up by 3 to 4 touchdowns, fine.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But a rotation made and still makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. 404-741-0929. We're coming back. We're going to talk to Stacey Sager from the Sager Strong Foundation, guys, and talk to you about how you can get involved as well. Mike and I are going to be out there at Hawks Ridge. It's a beautiful spot. Great track up there in ball ground. So we're going to talk more about that coming up. And also, next hour, we're going to get a chance to visit with Darren Eales, Mike. This Atlanta United squad is putting some matches together. And, you know, all of a sudden you look up. We thought maybe being in the fourth spot was almost impossible 2 months ago. Now it's realistic, which means we'd get a home match But let's not stop there. I mean, we still have more matches potentially to win, but the next one's going to be at Philly on Saturday, Mike. And I just think, you know, you look at the club and you go, everything is rolling in the right direction right now.
Knock wood, we've won a bunch of games at home. You know, obviously winning on the road is difficult in soccer as it is in the NFL. But there's just so many offensive pieces that are clicking. And, you know, the wins and the style. I mean, everything is really coming together aesthetically. Not just, I mean, it's everything you wanted to see, which made everybody become fans of this team back in 17 and 18. So it's a hell of a lot more fun talking to Darren now than it was back in April and May, right?
Yeah, it was hard, man. And when they made the managerial change, you know, and rightfully so, we were very hard on management because they screwed it up two times in a row.
Right.
You know?
I will say this, and we've said this to Darren before. I mean, you know, you wish you maybe got it right in the first time, but you got to give these guys credit. When things are not working, they don't screw around. You know, Frank DeBoer, we kind of thought it was a strange fit at first, and then we went on an amazing run in 19. 20 came, it was a train wreck, gone. So at least they don't, you know, how many organizations in this city let things, I don't want to say fester, but they let a mediocre situation drag on?
Yeah.
And you got to give Atlanta United credit. They don't do that.
No, that's true. But they needed to get this one right, and I think it's headed in the right direction. Hey, headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. They can help, guys. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. Stacey Sager joins us next. It is Dukes and Bell on a Wednesday. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. We're going to talk to Coach Arthur Smith at 5 o'clock. But we want to take some time out right now to talk to Stacey Sager, friend of the show. And for those who don't know, or maybe, you know, you're not old enough to remember, we're not going to assume that everybody does, but Craig Sager, guys, legendary broadcaster, NBA sideline reporter, known for his colorful suits and ties and his personality, as Mike and I talked about. And we love Craig. And Stacey and Craig started the Sager Strong Foundation in hope that one day leukemia patients and their families will never have to go through the battle that they had to endure. With that, we welcome in Stacey Sager on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Stacey, it's good to have you back on the show. And we're excited about the Sager Strong Foundation golf tournament that's coming up. Stacey? All right, she'll be there in just a sec, but we'll take care of that. But, Mike, as we talk about this, you know, it's funny because I remember, you know, like when Craig was going through all of that and we kept thinking, you know, hey, all the way the NBA was reacting, the way players were reacting around the country, it was just you saw the love for Sager and what he was about.
Right. And again, remember his son was filling in for him. Craig, we're friends with as well. But yeah, it's just, you know, whether it was guys like Popovich and just, you know, I mean, all the stoic guys to all the name guys, you know, from Michael Jordan, you name it, that reached out, you know, when Craig was going through that. And just because such a lovable, you know, sweet soul, and you're hoping and just assuming he's going to make it out of it. And it looked like for a minute there he was going to beat it. And again, leukemia and dealing with all he's dealing with. I remember visiting him in the hospital and he was in Northside. And yeah, you know, you put on the cap and gown and everything, like the oxygen control, that atmosphere and all that, and his spirits were always high, and you just felt this, you know, this guy's got so much living left to live that he's going to make it through. I don't want to get all emotional on you, but he's just one of my favorite people, and just a great dude. So we honor his legacy by, you know, again, raising money for a great cause in the Sager Strong Foundation, and we can do that and have some fun too coming up next month when we're playing golf.
All right, I think Stacey's there. Stacey, sorry about that. We were talking about Craig and all, you know, the great memories and kind of laying out for some of our listeners who may or may not be aware of his achievements and what he meant. But welcome into the show. Talk about the golf tournament and Sager Strong Foundation.
Thanks, guys, for having me. It has been a quick minute since we've talked. And, you know, it's what a wonderful intro. And I can't be more excited to have you guys join us on October 11th at Hawks Ridge. This is our fourth annual Sager Strong Living Out Loud, which obviously represents Craig, Living Out Loud golf tournament. And I said to my executive director, Terry Grundusky, I said, I have to have Dukes and Bell. Like, they have to be there broadcasting because that's who Sager is. You guys are family. And I am just honored that you guys are going to be spending the day drinking some brown liquor, smoking some cigars, and Bud Light for Craig, for sure.
Right on. Yeah, man. And again, for those that are newer, and again, we always assume that everybody knows, but for some newer members of the audience and guys in their 20-somethings, Craig, legendary sideline reporter. We worked at the same TV station in Fort Myers. Craig, by the way, Carl, is the guy in the trench coat when Hank Aaron crosses home plate in 1974. I mean, Stacey, I think people forget about that. I mean, that's before, long before you and I were watching baseball, but still, Craig was just a guy that had, I mean, how do you say this? Big attachments. He was always out there in the mix. It's just amazing the life that he lived.
Yeah, you know, back in 74, I was about 2 years old at that time, so I don't recall that moment. But we relive it every day at Truist Park on that loop feed that they always have, and actually in the Hall of Fame as well. But, you know, Craig in Fort Myers, he was a radio guy to start with, right? And he took Eastern Airlines, flew up to Atlanta with his little tape recorder back then, for the young people that don't know what a tape recorder is, and he just got in there and he was so in the moment,
right,
when Hank Aaron hit that home run. He just ran out on the field and he was the first one there to get that interview. And so that was him. He never missed a moment, and we always called it a doubleheader, tripleheader in Atlanta. Right. If the Braves are playing with the Hawks at the same time or the Falcons, he had to go to every single game. Every single night, it was never a dull moment living with him, for sure.
Stacey, full of fun. You know what? And I'll say this too: talking to NBA guys, when Sager passed, it was always, you knew it was a big game if Craig was there. You know, and NBA guys were saying that when he was going through, you know, his struggles, and it was like that was what they were missing is, hey, you know, we're in the midst of the playoffs. Where's Craig Sager? And it was just such a compliment to think that that's how he's viewed by all these big NBA stars, that, you know what, it's not as big as it should be because Craig's not here. It said a lot about what he meant to the NBA.
Absolutely. And the NBA is just continued family of mine as well. And, you know, Craig lived his life full of fun, and he had so much respect for the players, and they did for him as well. And that showed like a hundredfold when he was going through his struggles and going through his battle of leukemia for almost 3 years. So the love was out there. It was pouring. What he gave his whole life to watch these feats of these amazing athletes and to see it return when he needed it most, because that's what got him through his treatments and isolation in the hospital and the blood transfusion. A lot of people don't know, when he was covering after a second relapse, 40 days, 40 nights for TNT, he was doing blood transfusion and platelet transfusion in different city every single night before a game. And people that are going through adversity and chemotherapy right now and transfusions understand how that wipes you out. But Craig said, he always said, he goes, I will never miss a game because that means leukemia is winning. And so he just went on in San Antonio, Detroit, every single playoff game he would not miss, even though he was getting those transfusions. He was amazing. He was literally a medical miracle.
Truly is, man. The Sager Strong Foundation, guys. We got the links up at Dukes and Bell 929. And again, if you guys want to get in there. By the way, Stacey, guys are asking, is the golf tournament sold out, or are there still spots, or how's it working?
Yeah, no. Come to SagerStrongFoundation.org and click on the link of Living Out Loud Golf Tournament. There's spots available, sponsorships as well. We're just excited to have you guys on as a partner. We're going to have a lot of fun. Shotgun is 11 o'clock. Again, it's October 11th at Hawks Ridge. And we're going to have a blast. Super excited for you guys to be there.
We are too. And we're excited to support Sager Strong and the foundation and all that Craig and you guys stand for, and helping people, because that's really what it's about. Because, you know, I tell Mike this, I always say it doesn't matter until it's you, right? And
right.
When it's you, then you start to realize all the things that a lot of people have to deal with and go through. So it's a great foundation. It's a great cause. SagerStrongFoundation.org. Go there for more information. And, Stacey, we look forward to seeing you out there on October 11th.
You guys are the best. Thank you very much for having me.
Cool. Thanks, Stace. Yeah, man. Again, just such a great, great, great guy, man. And, again, just a larger-than-life character, as we said. And just so, again, you want to have some fun and help out a great cause. And, again, the money going to Sager Strong and leukemia research, it's just and helping the families that are dealing with all the things that Stacey went through and Craig and all the kids went through when Craig was going through it.
And we will remind you guys about that as we get closer. So, you know, we'll find out how many spots are left and all that. But if you can go do it today and knock it out and be a part of it, that'd be great. But we know, you know, people have things going on. So we'll remind you again. Right. But thanks to Stacey for stopping by. Darren Eales is on the way. We're going to talk to him at 3:20 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're just joining us, Matt Ryan says the team isn't done. Now, when he says that and you hear that headline, you go, whoa. He's basically in response, or this is a response to a question about where the team is from Jonathan Jones at CBS Sports, saying the Falcons have plenty of time to get things right. It's kind of what Mike and I have been saying. 0-2 is not a death sentence. It's not 0-10 and the season is over. But, you know, you don't want to start 0-3. And so this week, you could arguably say, not knowing what was going to happen week one, going from the preseason, going up against the Bucks, the world champs, you kind of felt, all right, some kind of way. But this is the biggest week because, Mike, you got a chance to go on the road and really show people. Last week in the third quarter wasn't a fluke. We were in the game, had a shot, and then it went away. But can you do that for four quarters?
Right. Now, we did get some good news, and apparently Josh Andrews eventually is on the mend, it sounds like, from that broken hand. So at some point, if you feel that Mayfield is not making any progress, and again, when you are the worst-rated lineman in the league, there's only one way to go, and that's up. But, and again, I'm not making excuses. It just, like, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if they were left in a lurch because some injuries, didn't have a lot of resources to pump into the O-line. And again, now, like, now this is why, as you and I said, that you can argue, and you can, look, I'm not telling you how to be a fan. If you want to bellyache and moan and complain and say this guy sucks and this is over, you knock yourself out because everybody does their own thing. I'm just telling you, we are still – it's not time to say that the general manager doesn't know what he's doing because he inherited a real blank show, as you and I discussed yesterday, like over a decade of things, some that worked and mostly that didn't. So all I'm saying is we're going to get a chance to see how, again, this is one of those games I think even Carl, the most glasses half empty fan said, I think we can win that game this year. And unfortunately, I felt that way about the Eagles, and now we find the Eagles are not that bad a football team.
Yeah, I did too. Matt Ryan saying, quote, we've got a long way to go. We've got 15 games to go. He talked about the extra game, you know, so all the rules as far as what you thought about, because you get another week. So, you know, if you see yourself, let's just say you see yourself as 0-1, even though the record's 0-2, you get an extra week to try to make up that game, and that's kind of how I think he's looking at it. But he said, Mike, we've got a young team. We've made strides from week one to week two. We need to continue to make strides as we go into week three. And if we can do that, I feel really good, even though, you know, we've got enough weapons, the right people. He says we can correct these things. So that's where Matt's head is. And I wouldn't expect it to be anywhere else. But, Mike, I would assume everybody in that locker room feels that way. You know, I don't think a bunch of guys are walking around going, man, we 0-2. We ain't going to beat nobody.
Well, I mean, if that's your attitude, you're in the wrong business, right?
That's right. Get out.
And if you're looking for some light of ray or a ray of hope or some sunshine, Pro Football Focus has all their grades out for the week. And for what it's worth, Chris Lindstrom. Now, again, everybody had a bad moment against the Eagles, but against the Bucs, you got to argue that Lindstrom was doing his job. The nerds at PFF say that his overall grade is 78.3 through 2 weeks, which, you know, is okay. And certainly he's the best of the lot amongst the Falcons' offensive linemen. So just they've got to teach the center of the line. And maybe this is on Hennessy. More about it. Again, Carl, I don't know how much that is instinctual, but when you pick up a blitz, where you're supposed to go, because the Giants are obviously looking at some of the things the first two opponents have done, and they'll try to do the same.
All right, Mike thinks it's dumb. And I'm starting to agree with them. Find out what we're talking about next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.